now.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. I said Tuesday.
Yeah, you did.
I'm already one for one. That's pretty amazing. Right there. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, and at Scott Brower underscore 13. Welcome in, partner.
Hey, it was a little slick this morning. I'm happy to be here now.
Oh, no kidding. It was not. You know, after a 60-degree day, you don't expect that kind of day to come in.
It's Iowa.
It is Iowa. Exactly. You also can check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ and website 1700thechamp.com. I have everything loaded, so we're looking good there. What do we have tomorrow? We have you and I, Indiana State, pregame's at 5:30, so that kind of interrupts my show, so I have another day off tomorrow. And but it's important. You and I, now the number one team in the Missouri Valley.
Yes.
So pretty excited about that. Have some great. We get to have all kinds of stuff. Let me start.
A lot of different directions.
Let me start this one right here. So one of the things that we are sponsoring, or they're sponsoring, or we're sponsoring, they're sponsoring. How do I want to say that?
We are. I would say this. They are the sponsor. They're paying for it.
They're paying for it, and we are.
We are tooting the horn of this event coming up.
So it is. I got to take my glasses off because whoever did the My Future needs to do. You want to read the first one here?
All right.
My goodness.
It's the Build My Future event. It's at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. It is April 13th of 2022. It is a hands-on skilled trade event. You can meet employers and try job-specific skills in the industry, from commercial to residential, construction, manufacturing. There'll be culinary, hospitality, automotive, law enforcement, IT, healthcare. It is www.iowaskilledtrades.com. It is, like I said, it's a hands-on trade event. There was a couple thousand kids from the high schools last year. They bus them in. They bus them in from across the state to come to this thing. And Governor Reynolds was there last year. It is a look what you can do, like we talked about last time. And I'm not in either camp that college isn't for everybody, a 4-year isn't for everybody, but there's some stuff out there that you can work for 2 years, learn a trade, and you can make a lot of money.
We're going to, in just a second here, we're going to talk about some of our sponsors and what I'm hearing from them directly correlates with that. And I think that we, as a society, have not put a blemish on, but we've missed a big generation of kids,
right?
And now that generation is looking at, okay, I have this degree in whatever, and man, I've worked at this job now for 6 years, and I'm not using anything to do with my degree. Not that I don't. But like or again, dislike my job. It happened. I'm not being on either side either.
Right.
What I think we don't do a very good job of, and I think it needs to get better, especially in this state, is with those trades, trying to get the highest amount of people that we can. So all of these companies, and it's a lot, Scott, we both work in an industry that we count on a lot of different people to do things. And every time I call, man, Gary, do you know anybody? HVAC, electrical.
Electricians, plumbers. Yes. Plumbers are, my heavens, do I hear a lot of those phone calls.
Oh, my goodness. So I think we need to change the stigma a little bit that, okay, yes, it's blue collar. I mean, one of my best friends, John Walling, man, that's his thing, right? He's the blue collar guy. He wants to live in the blue collar everything. You can lead a really, really, really good life in the trades. And I'm glad that they wanted to do that on this show because it happens to be something that we both really, really want to push and agree upon.
They knew the vehicle that what we've been doing and said, hey. So, no, it's, again, it's Build My Future. It's April 13th. go to iowaskilltrades.com to register for the event.
Yeah, and we'll keep talking about it a lot.
And Brandon Patterson is one of the figureheads. I've known him through Des Moines Homebuilders Association. He's also the big push on this as well. We'll get him in here probably in March.
Right.
Get him so on when, for a when second. Come yeah, in. When he can speak
closer.
A little more eloquently than
exactly.
I do.
No, we can sing the praises, but he can give you he can give you numbers it's a big deal.
Yep.
I totally love everything about it, and that's why it's so much fun to get to talk about it. As always, Northwest Bank and Laser Home Services and BetMGM are a big part of this program.
Yes, sir.
Love having them on here. We have one new one today. It is Woodman Controls.
It's official.
It's official.
Wonderful.
It's official. Woodman Controls. They are Iowa's intelligent building solutions. They take care of automation for buildings, instant access to system controls. They have a lot of resources, demos, all kinds of things. We'll talk more and more about Woodman Controls. It makes a lot of my job and my service guys' jobs easier. So you don't always have to be on site to take care of your biggest needs.
Right.
Your HVAC, your heating, your cooling, any of that. You have the ability to see that and not have to be there to take care of it.
It's a monitoring thing, but it's also a control thing.
It's a controls, yeah. But it also is computerized to the fact that I know water pressure, heat pressure, I everything. Anything that I want to know or anything.
Technology, you didn't expect to have technology 10 years ago.
Exactly. To where, you had to, if you were having an issue and you didn't know what the issue is, it's the most expensive thing about having repairs come out because you don't know. So they have to try to know. With controls like this, it helps you understand where the problem's coming from. At least it gets it narrowed down to when someone comes out to take a look at it. The biggest thing for myself and my service manager at a couple of locations is he can do these. If it's something that happens at 1 o'clock in the morning, you don't have to jump in your car and drive 15 miles, you can just take care of it. And that's a big deal. I can take care of it sitting at my desk at work. So Woodman Controls, new to the show, which is exciting.
Got the Steen on Sports Empire.
Yes, got a couple more getting ready to do as well. So exciting stuff. Okay, so we talked for like 2 seconds about some of the things we wanted to talk about today. So let's lead off, which I was very excited to get to talk to you about it because we've been through a lot of this and my feelings on this has probably changed a lot from 35-year-old Gary to 56-year-old Gary. But you had a game with Michigan and Wisconsin. Wisconsin winning the game.
Yep.
To give a background, if you didn't see it, I think Wisconsin's up 10. They have subs on the floor. Michigan has subs on the floor, a minute something left. Michigan scores, they're pressing, and Wisconsin wasn't going to get the ball up the court in time. So Greg Gard, the coach of Wisconsin, called a timeout. And for his part of this, he said, listen, they were still pressing, and it's a learning experience for my guys that haven't been in a game.
Right.
So I got them out. We got 10 more seconds to work.
Juwan Howard did not see it as a learning experience.
Right. And he said, I have the ability to not just turn the ball over and give it back to them, but to do a quick inbounds play just to see what my guys can do.
Right.
As a coach, I can totally understand that.
And I think it was more than I think it was more than 10 points.
Yeah,
that's where the slap in the face came.
And so, as you said, Juwan Howard, and I still, I was waiting until you got in here for me to actually come to a full conclusion on what I think. So the talking back and forth between us may change my mind. But Juwan Howard, on the other hand, thought, okay, that's kind of rubbing our nose in this.
Right, exactly.
It's at your place.
Right.
Come on. And I had young kids out there too. Now, if Michigan would have had their starters still in, I would have had a different opinion, but as far as I knew and know now, they both had subs in. Subsequently, you are then at the end of games.
Mm-hmm.
You have, let me stop because I really want to dive into this. between those two scenarios, do you think there should have been the amount of anger that had bottled up in Juwan Howard over what happened? If you put yourself in his situation, would that have been something that you could agree upon that he should have been angry about?
I think, to me, his frustration has built. Right. And it wasn't just that game. It's
they haven't had a good season for the talent that they have.
For the talent they have and for who he is as his track record of being a winner.
Right.
Okay. You know, it was on a pretty good college basketball team.
some of my Iowa Hawkeye friends who were saying, yeah, he serves him right. Yeah, because he just beat you and you didn't like it.
Right. But there was a mountain of frustration with him. He is there's type A personalities and then there's super A's.
Yep.
And he's a super A.
And he's a okay. Fab Five member. He's a big part of that university.
He is, you know, 20 years ago this was boys would be boys, but you can't do this. You can't do this the way it culminated that it was. Do I think Greg Gard did things that were kind of ribbing a little bit? If you look at the conversation and how the eyes get wide when they're having the conversation in the handshake line, I don't think that there is complete innocence on the other side. But I mean, but the reaction of reaching across as a grown man and hitting the assistant coach, was it Joe Krabenhoff or whatever,
right,
to hit the assistant coach because he was close. I'm sure there was some ribbing and some verbiage going on in there, but for it to react the way that it did, you can't do that.
Right. So let's continue on that. So players go through lines,
yes,
and assistant coaches go through lines. So the last ones to come through were Greg Gard and Juwan Howard. Greg Gard sticks his hand out. Juwan Howard kind of looks at him, shakes his head, and walks around him. Greg Gard, now, this can be interpreted any way you want. Did he stop him with his hand? Did he grab his arm? I don't know. But I think the only part of that that I feel that I could be on Juwan Howard's side in this particular case, just when the first two coaches met, is, listen, you should have taken my, hey, I kind of went, eh, and it's probably not a good time to talk to me because I'm not in the mood to be doing this.
Right.
And he stopped him, and so they wanted to have a conversation.
How long has Juwan Howard been a coach?
I don't think it's been more than 5 years.
How long has Greg Gard been a coach?
More than that.
Yes,
because I think it was never a player. So
right, I think that was no. You're going to listen to why I did what I did because I've been around here for 3-4 times as long as you have. Yeah, you've got a name, but you know, and it became a puff chest situation.
Now as you get past that. Here's some things I wish would have happened that didn't happen and others. So then it becomes a big thing. So the first thing that I wish would have happened is why you have assistant coaches is when something like this is happening.
Yep.
My assistant coaches have got to be in there and get my kids out.
Yep.
And their assistant coaches need to get their kids out. And yep. Then it's just these two guys and you can let referees. I think they were probably already off the floor. You can have somebody that can do that. Nobody did that. So both teams are at fault there. That is something. Right. It became a heated situation, and it shouldn't have, but it did.
And we've got two Michigan players and one Wisconsin player that have suspensions as well.
So this is the part that I disagree with penalty and disagree with what instigated the bigger blow up was that coach that you just said
chirping.
He chirped, he came up, and he was Greg Gard was already they had pushed him away. He was over there, and this dude came up and right in Juwan Howard's face and was pointing his finger and barking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even counting the other assistant coach that's over there doing the Triple H scissor thing that is awesome to watch on there.
Yeah.
Because all of us just went, that's Triple H.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and then Juwan Howard, now, initial reports, he hit him with his fist. He slapped him on top of the head.
He slapped him.
Yeah. Which, once again, you lay hand on anybody in college basketball, you have to be gone for at least a few games. We'll get into that in a little bit. But that slap and then the push forward and everything else led into
the players
throwing over the top.
Right.
Now, if you learned anything from this, Juwan Howard isn't much of a fighter, even though you would think he was, because he was, you know, he always was kind of that intimidator in the NBA. And he was when he was at the Fab Five. He was mm-hmm. he was the guy that you didn't mess with. I think he knew that as soon as his hand went up and went,
like,
you
uh-oh.
Could just say, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just did that.
Yep.
If you want to know, the three punches that were thrown by the three players mm-hmm. those are legitimate punches.
There you go.
So I probably, there was a lot of people that thought that Juwan Howard should have been suspended for the rest of the season. And I don't know if, here's the funny thing. I don't think the Big Ten is the one that came down with most. They didn't come down on the punishment with Juwan Howard. I think the University of Michigan said, we're going to sit him for the rest of the season, the regular season.
Right.
And if you want to add on to that, that's fine. But this is what we're going to do. The players getting a game each, I think that's being nice to the players and saying, you know what, adults should have taken care of this. So we're not going to put this huge blame. $10,000 fine on guard. I think it should have probably been more. I think
doesn't matter. School paid for it.
Yep, and that's
we'll
right.
We'll keep talking.
Yep,
we'll keep talking.
First break. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 1700 The Champ AM 101.3 FM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Scott and I will be back right after this break. We'll continue this conversation, and then we got some doozies to talk about after that too. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, Iowa Sports. Steen on Sports. 1700, The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Hope everybody had a great day. Hope all those that had President's Day to do some stuff got that done. It's kind of nice. Those Monday holidays are not horrible at all. They're not bad. Not as good as Friday holidays, but still. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, and at @ScottBrower_13. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. The website, we just got a couple of confirmations. And I just sent an email out. The internet site's not working.
The live streaming.
So if you have Alexa, have Alexa do it for you instead of going on the computer. But
Or if you have an old clock radio, like someone texted me, you can just listen to it on clock radio.
I can't believe you guys still have an old clock radio in the house. Pretty cool. Thanks, Bridge. You're the best. Glad you're home, by the way. This segment, let's jump on. I might as well give one of my new ones a little bit of a plug here. It's Woodman Controls. An independent and Iowa-based management team that takes care of controls for all kinds of systems. Been in business for a long time, and there's all kinds of things that they do, but the control part of it is it's more for companies than for private, but
it's commercial more than residential.
Commercial more than residential, but it gives you the ability to take care of some of the things that you have without having to be on site or right on top of it to try to figure out what's wrong, to be able then to communicate that to the people that need to come take a look at it. What I consider that does is I don't have to call in my company and have them come out and spend 2 hours trying to figure out what it is. We can get them honed into what our system is telling us it is. Takes away a little bit of charge there.
Absolutely.
It's a great company. Go ahead.
So what is their phone number or website? Oh,
it is at Woodman Controls. Let me see. I popped it in there. So it's at woodmancontrols.com, And it is. Let me, I had to click a thing here. Hold on.
We'll print something out. Yep. Like this.
This is for emergency service, so probably don't think I want to do that.
Woodmancontrols.com?
Yeah, woodmancontrols.com.
I'd go with that one.
Yep, I think that's good. And I'm hitting the home thing here just to see if it has. Since 1991, Woodman Controls Company has been designing intelligent building solutions for companies throughout Iowa. Once the controls are in place, Woodman supports you and your maintenance team to ensure building automation systems is performing at maximum efficiency and makes everything for your company a lot easier. Gotcha. So we'll start there. And we'll keep building them up. Once again, we'll probably take the time. Here's the most interesting thing. Whoever we've talked to about coming in and being, you know, a part of Steen on Sports or Happy Hour with Steen and Scott is
subsidiary of Steen Sports. Yes.
Everybody wants to come in and talk sports. I mean, these tech guys are going, I'll come in and talk
well, everybody
sports.
Has passion and has their two cents.
What do you need me to do? And I'm like, there you go. See, that's, it's a little give and take. So, appreciate them being a new sponsor and, it's pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
I enjoy it. So getting back, we were at the point where...
we're talking fines.
Yep. Juwan Howard smacked. Juwan Howard got a $40,000 fine in 5 games.
Which I love the way that it was portrayed in the media. One was he got a 5-game suspension. And they're like, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. And then it was he's suspended for the rest of the season. And that sounded horrible, but there's only 5 games in the regular season. So he's only actually... It's the 5 games of the regular season...
And for me on that point,
so that's tournament and other possibilities,
right?
Meaning
so
Big
if,
Ten tournament.
If you do that, he's not going to be there for his team, and even if the team does not perform well while he's not there, they're still going to be in the Big Ten tournament, and they're still going to be at a seeding. So it's not hurting the players. It's going to get each of the players are probably going to he's going to sit one because they each got a game, 2 on Michigan, 1 on Wisconsin,
yeah, exactly.
Greg Gard getting 10,000. I probably would have fined him more. I wouldn't have suspended him. Assistant coach, I probably wouldn't have charged him anything because the school would have paid for it, but I'd have sat him for a couple of games.
Right.
Because he instigated the instigation.
Yes, as you look, and that is your opinion of the situation, but it does look pretty obvious that he was a spark.
He's thinking, man, I'm going to look tough on TV. I mean, this is just me. That I'm going to look tough on TV and I'm going to get in his face because if I've met Juwan Howard in a dark alley, I'm not doing that to Juwan Howard.
Well, and seeing that there is something to that being said, it's Juwan Howard. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we just beat you. I don't care about who you are, where you came from. We just beat you.
We just beat you. And now we already know that you've done some stuff. And
right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's so not probably what the Big Ten Conference wanted to be talking about today. And, Here's the underbelly of that, though. So there's some underbelly with Juwan Howard, but there is some underbelly dislike with the University of Wisconsin by many teams in the Big Ten that think that they are coached and taught how to play basketball like Steen played basketball. Might not have as much talent as you, but man, I can make your life miserable for 40 minutes.
I can, with the hidden hand in your rib, I can really irritate the bejesus out of you.
So, not a lot of people felt sorry for Wisconsin, Greg Gard, or anybody because of all the things that have happened with Wisconsin against teams, Greg Gard's never came out and apologized for anything. So, a love loss with him, not that a ton of people are real happy about Juwan Howard either because he's, and that's the other reason why, because he's Juwan Howard. He is, I mean, his jersey's up in the rafters in Michigan. He had a good, NBA career.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of people, you know, get back into coaching after doing that. Right. So I just thought, I mean, it was a big deal. And here's why it struck home even more is if you're an Iowa Hawkeye fan, Fran McCaffrey got suspended 2 games for blowing up on somebody not during the game, not after the game, 3 or 4 days later, and they suspended him a couple of games. It is not – I do not think that the NCAA treats or the Big Ten Conference treats Fran in the correct way, even though there are times when Fran deserves – what right. he gets. And he has
he gets wound up.
He has a reputation, too.
Right.
Between Wisconsin and Iowa, those are probably the two biggest reputation. Wisconsin for a little bit of dirty play, and for Fran just being Fran.
Being Fran, exactly.
Now, the next part is, and I'll add Fran into this and give you his opinion on this. Fran is not a big fan of handshakes at all.
Mm-hmm.
He would much rather, hey, if you want to talk to us after the game, talk to us. You know, I'm taking my guys off the floor, and we're just, I don't want to do that. What's your take on that?
What's my take on? Do I think
if you need to do handshakes in college basketball? Like, you don't do handshakes in the NBA. I mean, after the game, these guys are buddies, or who they're buddies with, they'll go and talk to them, and they'll say, give hugs, high fives, elbows, whatever.
The first and easy answer for me is to say that I would think that it should be an adult situation and say, hey, good game, but we also see the intensity of how this is escalating, that it may not be a safe situation anymore.
Right, and
I mean, it's one thing for the players, but now we've got coaches.
Right. And so you have to continue to look at that. And I think that is the way that society, basketball, you see it in football as well, you know, coaches running at each other, trying to get in their faces and stuff.
Right.
I think what we consider to be decorum in sports has changed.
Yes.
I mean, I was brought up even though I knew walking through that line that people didn't like me in that line,
right.
I still walk through that line.
Right.
Because I wanted them to know I didn't care.
Right.
But I think there's also times I walk through that line because somebody I was guarding or something. I guarantee you I played Mike Bourne, who's the father of Bowen, played at Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
I told you this before. The first time I played him my senior year, I think he had like 16 points. I think I had 14. He broke his right wrist, had a cast on it, and shot left-handed and scored 32, and I scored 4. And I walked through there. I just wanted to walk up and tell him, oh, my God, that was amazing.
That was awesome.
I'm like, dude. You know, so I probably did more of that than anything. If I can coach my kids in 7th and 8th grade to not be squirrely and to walk through a line and show respect to the game of basketball – and respect to who you just competed with.
Right.
I think college kids can do the same. And I think high school kids can do the same. But there are places in the country, high school-wise, that it gets so bad that, I mean, as soon as the game's over, all these teams are running for the locker rooms because you never know what's going to happen. And that's society's fault. And since we're part of society, it's part of our fault as well.
It seems to be the evolution of what is acceptable, and I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing.
But. It really isn't. It's sad that you're taking that away. And you have people like Tom Izzo. I mean, Tom Izzo came out, Michigan State head coach. If you believe that we shouldn't go through the handshake line, here's the deal. You're an idiot. I mean, that's what he said.
Well, it's,
Nick Saban said the same thing.
Wouldn't ever expect him to have an opinion. Wow.
I mean, Nick Saban said the same. Now, for Nick Saban and for Tom Izzo, they don't lose very often. So walking through that line isn't as bad. But if you're, you know, some other teams that don't win all the time, it's
right.
different. It wasn't like you had a 9-21 guy coming out today saying, you know, you need to go through these handshake lines. It was people who win basketball games all the time. Do I agree with I still think they should handshake? Yes. And here's the reason even bigger than that. And this is family part, right? Because if I said I didn't believe in it, guess who the first person would text us and say, you're wrong? Grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
He would say, listen, it doesn't matter. He played professional sports.
Right.
You are playing for a shield, no matter what it is.
Right.
That shield's the Big Ten. He played for a shield, the NFL. I mean, there's a shield there, and there's something that you're supposed to do. And by God, I'm going to make sure everybody does it.
Well, and what are you teaching? If you say
Absolutely.
No, then because obviously we've been down the road where it's been taught that you, after the game, it's sportsmanship.
Yes.
Simple word, sportsmanship. You got beat or you won, you give the respect to the person, you move on to the next game. If we teach that sportsmanship is no longer part of sports,
we're in trouble.
What rabbit hole are we going down?
Yep. Now, I happen to be a proud father of a floppy arm when things don't go his way, the little nader tater.
He couldn't hit the curve.
But you know what? he walked through that darn line and he paid respect to everybody.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And that's what has. I mean, we've done that. We did that. We made sure kids do that. If you're getting paid and these coaches are getting paid, one of your responsibilities is to make sure that when games are over, that your players know what it's like to be an adult and be a good winner, loser, anything. It doesn't right. matter.
Exactly.
And so I hope it doesn't change. Changing it would just be the easy way, just to get yeah. people to do even more things on the floor during the game, because the fact that you did everything you did or did something you weren't supposed to do or whatever, you still have to go through and shake their hands, and it's not going to be pleasant. It's not pleasant to shake hands when you lose.
Right.
I get it, but it's a really big part of becoming a grown woman, a grown man. It's just a big part of that. It's something you have to do.
Right.
Man, we have to put our head between our tails all the time in business. It happens daily. So it shouldn't have to be any different in, that was the other part too I thought about, because this is the first thing that came in my mind is baseball. Because in baseball, if a pitcher's being a jerk, he has to bat most of the time.
Yes, there is a scale. An evening of the field.
And I do believe that it's going to come. I mean, you're seeing it this year. It's going to be a DH in both. It's going to be a DH in both
right.
leagues from
exactly.
now on, because, and it's not about prime to save pitchers. It's the having a slotted position worth a lot of money that the players want to have, and
oh,
having
absolutely.
A DH in both leagues gives you that slotted player.
Right. But even if a pitcher is inaccurate, we'll say that,
yeah.
and then he's not batting, someone is.
Right.
And they're not going to want to get plunked.
It's not the worst player on your team that
yeah.
gets plunked. I'm plunking somebody.
Somebody's
going to
get plunked, and if that person's not going to be, there is definitely a checks and balances in the world of baseball.
And the only reason that didn't happen more would be another person who would call in and say, Mr. T would not allow me to plunk as many people as I wanted to plunk.
There you go.
So I think that takes care of that. It was a bad scene. You don't want that to happen. But I think what it's going to be is a teaching moment for coaches, and I think it's going to get better. So
right.
it may not be a horrible thing. Juwan Howard took it introspectively and said, I am not where I should be. I need to take these 2 weeks and figure out
right.
that I need to be a better man, a better father, a better coach.
He has apologized.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean he's done his part. Trust me, the $40,000, that's a blip. I mean these guys make $12, $13, $14 million a year. That's a blip.
Right.
It was an embarrassment for him that
yes. and
that
I,
people
I
saw
that
who love him, and he acted that way, and,
right.
and he gets it. The Wisconsin coach, don't ever come up and get in it again, because I'll really come down on you if you do that again. Because you got away clean, and you probably shouldn't have.
Right.
You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Also on 101.3 FM. Scott and I will be back right after this break.
On February, Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in. Happy Tuesday. Drive home safely today. Not as slick as it was this morning, but still some slick spots out there, so be careful. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter, @ScottBrower_13, @SteenOnSports, or @1700TheChamp. Once again, this week we have UNI Indiana State tomorrow, 5:30 pregame. You'll hear CBS Sports up until then tomorrow. UCLA Oregon Thursday night late, 8:45, and then another huge game for UNI. Now they have to go to Loyola and play Loyola, and they have a game. They may have a two-game lead over Loyola, but they only have a game lead over Drake and I can't remember the other team, so I'll have to look that up. A big thing for Drake also in this, Darren DeVries brought them to their fourth straight 20-win season with their victory over the weekend. That's a big deal.
That's huge.
That's a really big deal for the Drake Bulldogs. This segment will be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. We talk about Northwest Bank a lot. It is a great bank. They do have outstanding staff, employees, and products. That's the easy part. What they want to do is they want to figure out what your needs are. So what you need to do, and you can do it either electronically, or you can go in and say, hey, you need to go in and say, hey, Steen sent me. They'll know because you said, hey. But you need to go in and you need to explain to them what your initial needs are. And what they're going to do is they're going to take care of your initial needs. They're going to sit you down and they're going to try to make this as easy as humanly possible for you to have the best banking experience that you need. If you don't go in, I mean, their technology, you know, everybody has technology. The ability to deposit a check without going in, taking a picture of it, it goes in. Being able to see your balances by Face ID on your phone. There's all kinds of things that you can do. The great part about that is Northwest Bank is going to do it for everyone. It completes that big circle of all your banking needs. Once again, Northwest Bank, member FDIC. Okay, one more quick thing before we jump on. So 5A girls basketball goes into they're getting ready to go to next week starts girls state basketball, then boys state. You had wrestling a week off. Oh, I can't believe we had a week off already from wrestling.
Yeah.
To girls to boys, and then spring break and the whole city will be gone, going somewhere warm, I'm assuming.
Exactly.
Johnston plays Des Moines North. They were supposed to play tonight. City school, because schools were canceled today.
Delayed and then canceled. Yeah,
I do not know if they're able to play. Ankeny Centennial and Sioux City East will play tomorrow night instead of tonight. Des Moines Roosevelt and Ankeny will play tomorrow night instead of tonight. Pleasant Valley, Cedar Rapids, Washington are playing tonight. Dowling Catholic, Waukee Northwest are playing tonight.
Where's that game?
It's at Dowling High School. No, it doesn't say that. I don't know if it's at home floor or they're playing at a different site. What do they call it?
We were not home.
Yeah.
Neutral.
There you go. Iowa City High.
Wow.
That's what happens when you get a couple of old dudes in here. Yeah. Iowa City High, Linmar play tonight. Waterloo West and Southeast Polk play tomorrow night. And Valley and Iowa City West play tomorrow night, too. So a little bit of both. But so we'll have some more. We'll keep you up to date. We'll kind of be your headquarters for high school basketball as it's going on. It's kind of, you know, everybody always said when you have businesses that, well, you know, high school boys and girls basketball are the big thing. Wrestling's the thing that brings in the most money because you can have little Timmy coming from small school up by the Wisconsin border, and they're bringing their whole town to 300 people, and they're coming down here and watching.
Absolutely.
But they're all fun to do. Wells Fargo is amazing. The places that you can stay are amazing. The food choices you have are limitless. So.
I was gonna say, this time of year, if you feel you want to go get a armadillo egg from Buzzard Billy's, you got to be committed.
Oh, you have to be really committed. And they're doing – and remember this – is that's not everyday occurrences that they have that type of business. Be kind and please tip your waitresses,
tip your servers,
bartenders, servers, everybody.
Absolutely.
Make sure you're taking care of them. That's a big deal. And you happen to be talking to two really good tippers.
Well, only
before we drink.
Oh, this
after
is true.
We drink.
This is true.
We're outstanding tippers.
Absolutely.
What were you going to talk about when we came back in here? What did I wanted you to read something.
You wanted me to read something. Oh, we an update on, because we always seem to have updates
yes.
on the Brian Flores.
Yes, so that was good.
He did get hired as a coach.
He did. So that happened over the last week that he got hired by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number one, it's a great hire. He's a great defensive coordinator.
Right. His title is senior defensive assistant and linebackers coach.
And it's with Mike Tomlin. That is a... Mike Tomlin, I think, has been there for 16 years.
He's
a great coach.
He's
a player's coach.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what they do. Chuck Knoll to Bill Cowher to Mike Tomlin is their whole history.
I know.
Three coaches.
Isn't it interesting the likeness of jerseys to the Iowa Hawkeyes that has three coaches as well?
Yeah. It's
Yeah, no, it's a lineage. It's a pretty impressive thing.
But what we're more concerned with is the NFL's continuing quest to make sure that Stephen Ross isn't the owner of the Miami Dolphins. And so you came up with a really, really interesting fact there.
And it came out today because it's going to be on, I think it's Real Sports, HBO Real Sports, whatever. But it came out that at his departure, he, like it says here, when he was dismissed by the Miami Dolphins last month, Coach Brian Flores declined to sign a non-disparagement agreement presented by the team owner, Stephen Ross, which basically, if he didn't sign that,
he didn't get the rest of his contract.
He didn't get the money. But if he did sign it, he lost his voice.
And he wanted his voice.
And he,
hear, hear for Brian Flores once again.
Yes. So, yeah, it's on HBO Real Sports. I'm going to have to try to figure out how to watch that, whether it's after fact or whatever, but it's out there saying that it ain't about the money. It's about the not the voice, but the meaning of what he's doing.
And the really, so the only deterrents or people disparaging what Brian Flores had done, and there's a few of them. They happen to be, listen, I could care less about people's political views or whatever. But there's some people that are big time. Radio show host, TV show host that lean a specific way, saying, you know what, he's just mad. And I always said, there's no way.
Right.
But here's the one thing that you know, that he wasn't just mad, or it wasn't really that big of a deal what was happening. He gave up millions of dollars to not sign that agreement so he could stop things from happening that shouldn't be happening.
Right. He's not soapboxing for betterment of himself.
I think that is a huge part of that and couldn't be more excited.
And okay. Stephen Ross, there's talk that Stephen Ross will sell the team, which is interesting because I think that is a little bit of smoke and mirrors because they're not saying who.
Right.
I mean, just because his name is no longer on it doesn't mean he's not still part
of it. And Stephen Ross is not the biggest worry that the NFL has. Getting Daniel Snyder out of the National Football League for everything that he's done is the one that needs to happen. So we'll see if
there'll be changes. That's why we have the off season. So we still get things to talk about with the NFL.
We only have 2 minutes. I would love to give this more, but we have so many things to talk about today. The U.S. Women's National Team, the U.S. Soccer Federation's U.S. Women's National Team, had been in a lawsuit against the big part of that are both over the women's and the men's squad.
Yes.
They are equal participants in the eyes of everybody, but the people that were running it. The men were paid 5 to 10 times as much money. So they took them to court. It's been a long court case. They settled for $24 million, which will, and then there's a kicker in there for 20 that'll get everybody. So everybody that's been in there for their service will be reimbursed what the men's team was making to what the women's team was making for the amount of years that you were there. They're going to get back pay. And from that point on, they're going to be equals. And here's the part that helps me with my quest to make sure that maybe the WNBA and NBA players get closer salaries, or softball and baseball get closer salaries. Because the thing that they always say is, well, nobody watches those sports, or nobody does this, or nobody does that, or they bring in more money. There is not a team that brings in the amount of money that the U.S. Women's National Team has done for soccer.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are watched probably 250-1 compared to the men's team, and was still not getting paid. That's why I can't believe it took as long as it did, but you have to have a change of scenery and get the right people that's discussing things like this. The U.S. Women's National Team getting this done paves the way for the next ones to come up, are two. Women's college softball to get a better deal and a like deal like they do in Omaha for the men's. And the other is for the WNBA that's well watched. But even more, the NCAA tournament, the women's tournament that had higher ratings last year, they're going to see some of this too.
Absolutely.
So it's a great thing. And
positive.
Nice job by the soccer team. You're listening to Steen on Sports, you're listening to Scott, and you're listening to Steen. We'll be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700.